For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
I'm calling you, Peter, from New York City, where I saw Seawall of Life. That's the show featuring Jake Gyllenhaal and Tom Sturridge. It's two monologues, and if you've heard that it's wonderful, that's true. And, oh, and before I'm back, I will have seen Moulin Rouge, which is kind of the hottest ticket in town.
Well, I want to ask you about Jake Gyllenhaal. When he makes movies, they're a little dark. They're pretty strange. How's this play?
Dark, yet uplifting. He tells contrasting narratives about the birth of his daughter and the death of his father. They intersect each other and go back and forth. Quite a tour de force for both actors, and really impressive.
Hadestown, you got to see it well?
Oh, yes, yes. And, you know, I went in with that bit of attitude that you have when something's been praised and you think it can't be all that.
Oh, I thought that was just me.
Well, in this case, it is all that. It really is marvelous. And André de Shields, who won his Tony at long last, he didn't win it for The Wiz and didn't win it for The Full Monty and didn't win it for Ain't Misbehaving, but now he has his Tony for Hadestown, and he is remarkable. And the actor who plays Persephone is like Eartha Kitt, marvelous. Just, it's really terrific. It's the story of Orpheus going down into Hades to retrieve his love, with one caveat: he can take her home if he does not look back. And I don't think I'm giving anything away and telling the resolution of a classic myth, but when he looks back, the audience as one gasps, "Why did you do this?"
Oh, good.
Just, no, very Greek in that way. You know, just come on, folks, you knew how this ended, but no, please, another ending.
A big part of that is the audience has to fall in love with Eurydice, and I gather everyone does.
Yes, even though it was a replacement Eurydice, she was very, very lovely.
So, that just sounds so funny.
Right. I know. It just seems wrong, doesn't it? One true love can't be an understudy. But before leaving Buffalo, was Shakespeare in Delaware Park going to be able to match the magic of The Tempest, which had been such a beautiful production, with their Love's Labor's Lost? And I think that they don't even try. They just give us a frolicking caprice, and it's pure joy, these young men not wanting to fall in love with these young women, but failing.
And what a good-looking cast. Completely believable. The boys are handsome, the ladies are lovely, and I was particularly taken, though, with one of the comic actors, the character co-starred, Peter Horn. He could play the violin like nobody's business, and he's funny.
He could. Yeah, they certainly showcased his abilities, and he's very, very funny.
I went down to Chautauqua for One Man, Two Governors.
Ah, you two are on the road. Okay.
I was. a very amusing, as you pointed out last time, an old Carlo Goldoni play brought into the 1963 era with some live Beatles-inspired music, Commedia dell'arte with a lot of farce. And I wanted to ask you, that still works. It works in Love's Labor's Lost. It works in One Man, Two Governors. This has been around for, what, 400, 500 years?
This particular play, but of course farce goes back to antiquity. Plautus particularly was master of the form. We love to take life's absurdities, let's take the most ridiculous possible premise, and play it to its logical conclusion. And that's endlessly delightful. Children love to see adult in absurd situations, or, you know, failing to do something or making a foolish decision. That endures. And also the comic types of Commedia dell'arte, we can see those enduring certainly into television, where we have stock characters that every sitcom has to have. You know, if there are three women, you can be sure one will be the smart one will be the pretty one, and one will be the sexy one. That, you know, these types, which are so familiar. Skipping back to Love's Labor's Lost, the Tom Laughlin character, though Shakespeare predates Commedia dell'arte, that is El Capitan, the classic Commedia character, the foreign officer, typically Spanish, who misuses words and exaggerates his exploits, and falls in love in spite of himself.
And it's sort of the same character, Dr. Caius, from The Merry Wives of Windsor. We saw that recently at Shakespeare in Delaware Park, and it's up at the Festival Theater at the Stratford Festival this year, The Merry Wives of Windsor. Only in that case, he's French, but still, totally messing with the English language. And
Right.
And we love it.
We love it. Still today, we love it. Even in looking at the Roman theater, too, you look at the comedies of Rome, for example, and the examples surviving from Terence and Plautus. And, Terence is clearly the better writer, but Plautus endures so much better because he's so much funnier. And that's the way it goes. Well, I'll be back soon, and I'll tell you what I thought of Moulin Rouge, if all goes well. And so until then, for Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.